coming up. Oh my God. Guys, it finally happened. Oh my God. Yes. Taylor and Travi are getting married. Oh, we'll talk about it. When is the date? When are they having babies? What is the wedding going to look like? Did you see the post on the gram? Oh my God. We're so excited. Lord of mercy. We'll get into that. Plus, the rest of the news from around the NFL that comes your way in 20 minutes. We'll also preview the Big Ten during the show and chat with Jake Budd, former Michigan tight end who now works for the Big Ten Network and SiriusXM Radio. I'm Jake. She's Chelsea. Chelsea, how you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's a big day. We have big day. Daytime baseball to bet on.
Yes.
So let me ask you, how was the news received in your household? Because I know that you have rolled your eyes continuously when we talk about Taylor Swift. But Catherine, your fiance, is a huge Taylor Swift fan. So was she uncontrollable? Did she handle it smoothly? What was the consensus there?
Well, what was funny is that the lovely Catherine was excited, but I was out in Ashburn with the Commanders when this news broke. And I work with a lot of very talented young women, and we're all friends. And they were losing their minds. Like, the producer of our podcast, Anna, we're sitting there and we're getting ready to go into the studio. And I hear, oh my God, guys, Taylor Swift just got engaged. Taylor Swift just got engaged. So she's looking at Instagram. She's freaking out. She's freaking out. All of a sudden, Maddie comes in and Maddie's like, what? On a Tuesday? On a Tuesday, she got engaged on a Tuesday. And then Caroline, who is in her cubicle, starts playing a Taylor Swift song. And it was like just absolute madness for like 5 or 10 minutes. And I was like, this is wild. Like, everybody had to calm down. And then eventually we had to go back to work. And then I got home and the lovely Catherine was very excited. And of course, she posted about it on Instagram like everybody did. And she was pumped about it, but she was also kind of stressed about work at the time. So she was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill somebody right now. So she was excited, but I was right in the middle of a few women just going crazy as soon as they heard the news. It was interesting to sort of watch it go down.
Can I ask you something? What's the appropriate response to hearing that somebody is engaged that you know? Because I feel like I'm not an over-the-top person, and sometimes I feel bad. Because I think sometimes my friends want me to, shriek or something.
Right.
So what was, the reaction to, your friends? Is it personal? Is it, based on the person's personality? Or do you need a scream no matter the person?
No, I think it's probably different based on how old you are and your own personal story.
Yeah.
And, I think for me, I just got a lot of very personal messages. It wasn't people screaming and screeching. It was just a lot of very personal, hey, I'm really happy for you, or you deserve this, or I can't tell you how happy this makes me. Just some very intimate, personal messages where just people I had not heard from in a long time, and they were just like, this is exactly what you deserve. I'm so happy. And that to me is really all you want, right? Just people who reach out and they're genuinely happy for you. Because sometimes people get very, they're sort of frenemy about it, or they're happy for you, but then maybe they're not because of their own personal issues. I remember one of Catherine's friends when we started going out, her friend was angry with her because it's like, well, we're not going to spend as much time together. And Catherine was like, well, but I'm almost 40. I found someone. I've been looking, aren't you happy for me? And I was like, what is this? This is weird. So people can have different reactions, but ultimately I think you just want people who are genuinely happy that you are happy.
Yeah, that's always a red flag. I don't think that person needs to be invited.
It wasn't great.
If you're trying to trim the list, I don't think she makes the cut. Because that should never be your reaction, especially, like you said, if you're older in life and you thought maybe it wouldn't happen for you.
Yeah.
And I think some people thought that for Taylor Swift, because in celebrity world, she's been around the block a while, you know? And I feel like she was getting to the category of, who was, the running, joke with, Hollywood starlets that couldn't find a man? Was it Jennifer Aniston? Where people are I always hope she finds someone. I still don't know if she's found someone.
I don't think so.
I did hear a rumor about her and a certain really high-ranking official, which... Have you heard this rumor?
No.
I don't want to spread it because I don't know if there's any truth to it. a former high-ranking official. So, a little teaser there. I think people.
Yes, I know what you're talking about now. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you live in D.C. saying. I feel like you definitely have heard this.
Yes, I've heard this.
But I think at the end of the day, like, people root for people like that. Like, they want them to go through the struggle. Like, we don't want people who are like 22 to find love just right off the bat. You want them to go through the storms because we want people to work for it. It's the same in sports. Mm-hmm. We love the guys who start like Tom Brady, who was a sixth round pick, who had to work his way up the totem pole and had to work really hard. So I think that's why a lot of people are genuinely happy for Taylor Swift, among other reasons.
It's wild. Like, this is everywhere. I walked in this morning. First thing, Denton, you knew it would be, because the TVs are always blaring. There's a picture of the ring. I mean, it is an absolutely stunning ring. Reportedly, 10 carats, around $1 million on that ring.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Stunning. Great pictures on Instagram. What was your reaction? What did you think when you heard this news? Because I know the people around me. For me, I was like, oh, good for them. I am absolutely happy for them. But what did you think?
I think of, like, logistics first. Like, when I saw this, I was like, imagine the pressure surrounding proposing to a billionaire who's the biggest celebrity in the world. Like, you would feel like there's a lot of pressure there, especially when your fan base doubles as a cult. So, no pressure, Travis. But I also feel like Travis Kelce is that type of personality where, like, he doesn't overthink it. Like, right. I don't think he was thinking about it. You know, I think it's just like, well, she's awesome. I'm going to propose to her. Because it didn't seem like that crazy, like the proposal. Like, the flowers and the scenery was nice, but it wasn't like, you know, at the top of the Eiffel Tower or something.
Right.
I was wondering if it was going to be more grandiose, because Taylor Swift obviously puts on this huge show when she goes on tours, and she is a huge catch.
So how long do you think they've been engaged?
2 weeks.
You think 2 weeks?
It is 2 weeks, right?
Well, I don't know. I was talking with my wife last night. She was like, all right, well, her nails were the same nails that she had during that podcast appearance, God. But the flowers that were in the picture were flowers that are more in bloom in, like, the month of May or June, so I don't know if they'd still be this in bloom in August. I don't know what flowers they were. I don't know about flowers. But they're saying that this has been a lot longer, and they just decided to release it on a Tuesday.
Yes, and which is not a mistake. Like, apparently, here's the thing. The only issue I have with this is, look, this was perfectly curated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, perfect. Absolutely perfect. And now there are numerous reports. I think it was Taylor's dad or someone who said, yeah, they've been engaged for 2 weeks. So it was so perfectly done where, look, Taylor appears on the New Heights podcast. They get all these views. She announces the album. Right after the album, there's going to be different versions, different colors of the vinyl that are coming out for her new album, and then this comes out. So there's been this two-week period where there's been this slow build-up until this perfect Instagram curation comes out with different Easter eggs. By the way, Tuesday, you know Taylor, 13 is her number, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so August 26th, 13 plus 13, released at 1 o'clock. 13th hour of the day. There's other Easter eggs in there. So, that's what her fans want. So, here's the thing. Like, I'm super happy for them. All of this is wonderful. I wish them the absolute best. But I will say, when something is so clearly pre-planned and curated, to me, it takes away a little bit of the authenticity. But then again, that's what her fans want. They want everything to be perfect and, you know, sort of tied together in this wonderful way where there's just no notes. And I get that. But it would be nice sometimes to feel like they just kind of went for it without all this planning involved. But that I probably sound like an old guy saying.
And we get a New Heights episode in 3 hours.
Right. Like, it's all perfectly planned.
But on the opposite side, like, if you get engaged, don't you want a few weeks to tell your close friends and family? Like, I think she deserves that. Like, before you release it to the world, because I know people do this that aren't celebrities. They say, hey, I'm going to post this on Instagram in a week. I wanted to tell you first. So, like, from a very basic standpoint, I do think that makes sense. And how much planning do you think Travis had in this? Like, do you think that Taylor Swift curated this engagement? Because, like, that's my question. If Travis did it, I don't think there's numerology involved. No. I think he was just like, yeah, I think it's about time. So I don't know if she had a hand in this, because more and more I think it's less kind of against the grain for girls to plan parts of their engagement. Like, I know now women look at rings. Like, mm-hmm. for me, it was a complete shock. Like, I didn't have anything to do with it. But I got engaged, like, 15 years ago. But now I feel like women want more of an active part in their engagement. And I can't see Taylor Swift, like, sitting back and being, like, chill about it. Like, she definitely feels like she wears the pants in the relationship.
Oh, there's no question. And because she's such a marketing machine, right? Like, she's going to control all of this. All of this was very controlled. And I think you make a very good point, which is, look, you want some time to share this with your friends, your family, yourself. You want to be able to sort of soak it in and enjoy the moment, because as soon as people find out, they're going to go crazy. Like, it's just, it's amazing to me. I sat down yesterday to do the pod with the Commanders, and I thought, okay, this is going to last about an hour. When I log back onto Instagram, how many posts will there be about this engagement in an hour? And I don't follow a lot of people. I hardly follow any celebrities. These are just friends of mine. And I think I saw 10 stories within the hour posting about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I'm like, this is wild. Like, I get it. It's going to be everywhere. But even just people I know are like, oh, my God. 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 And so I get it. But this is kind of when I go into my, I'm a little worn out by this, because already it was just like everywhere surrounding me. Like, we were doing the pod. And like, and I love Anna. She's an absolute sweetheart and so good at what she does. And we're in the middle of the podcast, and I see her going, just going through her phone. I go, Anna, are you looking at Instagram right now? Are you, during our pod that you're producing, are you watching stories about Travis and Taylor? She's like, yes. I mean, it's just wild to me how many people just get so sucked in by this.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where you can't look away. Like, you can bury your head in the sand and say, like, oh, I'm not going to follow it, but it's going to hit you in the face. So whether you like it or not, it feels like the top story trending around the world. So you might as well, like, have a take on it. It's fine, like, for content standpoint. And I was thinking about this. As much as people love to put down Taylor Swift, you know who used to be, like, the number one mega celebrity in the world? It used to be Kim Kardashian. So listen, we could sit here and be talking about that as opposed to Taylor Swift. So from a respectability standpoint, I get that Kim Kardashian's very good at marketing, but at least Taylor Swift has a very honed skill that she worked very hard on. And as a mom, I feel like she is a good role model. So, Jenks, it could be worse.
That's true. I mean, these next few months, though, oh my God. Like, the number of organizations, like, this was the front page of ESPN, right? It was the second story on the NBC Nightly News last night. They had nothing on the war in Ukraine, but this was story number two. The NHL posted something.
Want.
And I know, it's crazy. And people were losing their minds. Like, especially hockey fans were like, this has nothing to do with hockey. It was, like, the comments, they were so angry. It's crazy.
Well, it's our royal wedding. Like, since we don't have royals, like, this is probably the closest thing we have to it, right?
That's true.
But do you know who probably loves this? Roger Goodell's like, hell yeah, another cash cow for another year, because we know that he's going to try to find a way to weave this into games. And it's not hard because the Chiefs are obviously one of the top dogs in the NFL. So, like, it doesn't have to be that, like, obvious.
Yeah.
But he's definitely going to try to use this to make more money.
Oh, yes. The plans are already in place. Like, she's definitely doing halftime at the Super Bowl.
I was about to say, does she do the Super Bowl this year?
Yes. Because
this feels like Kelce's last year, which, by the way, he's 13th season. But this feels like Travis Kelce's last year. Does she do the Super Bowl finally?
Has to. It's going to come together. And this is, you know, the NFL doesn't pay performers to do the halftime show. They would probably pay Taylor. Because, you know what I mean? If they're going to pay anybody,
I'd pay her under the table.
They would be like, hey, we don't pay people.
Pay you in
also,
cash.
Take this cash, straight cash, unmarked bills, because the ratings it would bring and the eyeballs it would bring, biggest halftime show in Super Bowl history. And there is a really strong possibility the Chiefs could be playing. There's a viral video. Travis supposed to be in the locker room, but he's peeking out because he wants to watch his fiance perform.
Oh,
my God. You can just see it. Coming up, he may not have a team right now, but he'll always have the Cutlets. We'll discuss players released on Tuesday, including Tommy DeVito. It's next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back. Double D, give me a little something, man. I gotta wake up.
Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, the wedding of the year.
Thank you, buddy. Coming up on the show, wow, what a transition. The Saints named their starting quarterback, but is it the right call? Chelsea, I have some great news for you. Great news for you. I thought of you yesterday, and I was going to read this story, but I thought, let's save this. Because guess what was released officially yesterday at Starbucks? That's right.
Ooh.
That's right. Pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Pumpkin spice latte. It's here. Mm. Officially released yesterday. So if you're looking for a PSL, guess what? You can do it. It's that time. Mm. And this year, new on the menu, if you're curious, a pecan oat milk cortado and Italian sausage egg bites. I did not know what a cortado was. So I looked
it
up.
What is a cortada?
It is basically espresso with a little steamed milk to sort of cut the strength of the bite of the espresso. So there you go. But it also has pecan oat milk in it, as opposed to, which, you know, regular milk. I don't know how I feel about that. But everyone loves their pumpkin spice lattes, and now you can drop by your local Starbucks, pay your $10 for it, and you're good to go.
Mmm, it was the perfect basic girl day, right? Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, pumpkin spice latte. Like,
seriously,
things are trending in the right direction for us in the basic girl world. But here's my issue with the pumpkin spice latte coming out so early. Okay. By the time it's actually pumpkin spice season, you're going to be tired of pumpkin spice lattes. I know this because I have walked this path before. So buyer beware. Do not start drinking PSLs in August, because the time you get to November, you're like, all right, is it time for Christmas yet? But maybe since we start Christmas decorating earlier and earlier, maybe it does make sense to push back like the fall start date. Since we start decorating for Christmas, what, like before Thanksgiving? Like, have we settled on this?
Let me just say, sorry, I zoned out for a second because I saw someone post on X, Twitter. By the way, give me some clarification. Do I need to say X or should I just say Twitter?
Say whatever
say
Twitter? You want.
Just say Twitter.
All right.
I'm not giving
you. I don't
Elon
think people
that
care.
That's the way I feel. Okay. Thank you. I'm going from Twitter from now on. So I saw someone post on Twitter, only 121 days until Christmas. I'm like, are you? And they reposted like a picture of Santa and his reindeer. I forget who this was. And I was like, is this a real post? I'm like, let's not have a countdown to Christmas in the final week of August. What are we doing?
Like, I love Christmas as much as the next person. But when you start getting in the Christmas mindset, like, that takes away the specialness of the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Like, it's special because it's not the entire year. It's fine to listen to Christmas songs 2 months out of the year, but nothing more. Plus, it's still basically summer. Like, it's hard to get in that mindset when it's not even fall yet. Like, I don't know, depending on what state you live in. Like, we did have some cooler temps yesterday here in Nashville. But still, when it's 85 degrees, like, no.
Also, when I have a pumpkin spice latte, like, I need it super hot. Like, I don't like it when it starts to get warm. Like, it has to be really hot for me to really enjoy it. And so right now, when it's still sometimes, like, high 80s, low 90s, I don't want a hot, super hot pumpkin spice latte. But at the very least, it's here. So all the basic girls, it is. I mean, this is your time, right? This is your time to shine.
Hell yeah.
And also, in New Orleans, guess who gets to shine this year?
Oh,
yeah. Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler is your QB1 in New Orleans. There's no good way to make that transition, guys. So here's an awesome sentence. You ready for this? Rattler won the battle between Jake Haener and Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
Woof.
Ooh. What a quarterback room.
God.
Like, this has to be the worst quarterback room in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there are other teams where their third-string quarterback would probably be better than what they have to offer in New Orleans. So I think you can make a pretty solid case for the Saints to have the worst record in the NFL. They are the favorite at 4-1. you could even pick a couple teams, you know, with this type of with these type of odds. Yeah. So I think the Saints are definitely going to be in the running. At least maybe you can hedge your bet like later on in the season. But it doesn't feel to me like this is a team that's going to get off to a hot start. So I am not high on New Orleans, and I feel like I shouldn't have to explain myself.
No, you don't. The Saints' odds are wild, and in the worst way. To have the fewest wins in the NFL, they're 4-1. They are the favorite. I mean, 4-1 for the worst team, and Spencer Rattler quarterback, I might put some money on that. Win total is set at 4.5. To win the NFC South, they're 15-1. That's just to win the division. To win the NFC, they're 150-1. Like, this is going to be a really, really bad football team.
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, I know that we make fun of the NFC South a lot, but I think it's going to be a little better this year. Like, the Bucs are always good. Like, I think people love to knock the NFC South, but the Bucs are usually good, at least for the last few years. And if you expect anything from the Saints, I think they're going to be better. Like, maybe the Panthers take a turn. Bryce Young at least showed some flashes last year of maybe improving. I'm not saying they're going to be like a 10-win team. I am just saying they are fully capable of running the table against the Saints. So the NFC South is going to be a challenge, I think, for the Saints.
Remember when Shuck said this summer on a podcast, "Don't be surprised if I suck early"? I'm like, God, that's a Saint. That's Saints talk right there. That's a guy who's Saints ready to play talk. In New Orleans. Saints talk. That's why we drafted him. He's got the right attitude to play for this team. Hey, guys, I might suck. You know what? You're Saints material. You're Saints material. Also, when you look at Spencer Rattler, do you remember that high school video of him when he was in high school being the biggest jerk on the planet and insulting like another quarterback on his team, the backup quarterback, and just eviscerating him for no real reason? Now, he has apologized for that. Do you remember that video?
I did, since we put it in the rundown. Like, I definitely Googled it. But I didn't see it when it surfaced for the first time. But I would like to do like a little aside, because with social media now so prevalent, like, I think a lot of us made mistakes in high school. Sure. And a lot of us probably weren't the best people when we were teenagers. So I feel like since then he has been humbled. And, you know, last year was a real humbling experience in the NFL. So he has not been, you know, at the top of the mountain. So I feel like he has probably changed since then.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think everyone, you know, at some point when you're maturing and you're a high schooler, you just do dumb things. You say dumb things. It doesn't excuse everything. But it always kind of bothers me when you'll see someone who is a young adult or just an adult, and someone will look for something that they did like 10 years earlier as a kid. Like, look at this. Look what they did back when they were a junior in high school. Can you believe this? It's like, guys, I'm 16 years old. Like, I was an idiot. You know, a lot of people are just like, your brains are still developing. You're still learning about the world. You're saying things without really thinking about them. I'm not excusing all behavior, but you know what I mean? We've all kind of been there where you look back and you're like, yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah, I saw a funny TikTok the other day that was saying, have you followed the show Girls on HBO? Like, it's not a new show.
Oh, I love it.
But no. They were saying every single character on Girls is unlikable. And it's a show about girls in their 20s. And then the host was like, yeah, but I'm in my 20s and all of my friends are unlikable. They make the worst decisions. People in their 20s are generally unlikable. And now that I'm a savvy vet in my 30s, I feel like I can say that as well, because, you know, I wasn't as good of a person when I was in my 20s. You think about yourself first, and that's kind of the name of the game when you are younger. So I think it goes to even your 20s.
I always have this debate with the lovely Catherine, because we always say, God, I wish we had met sooner. And of course, I'm biased. I think she's beautiful. And I'm like, if you were in your 20s and you'd met me, I'm just like, I'm not really convinced you would have been into me. And she's like, oh, I absolutely would have. I'm like, I don't know. You know, you change as you get older. And I'm like, you're pretty sassy. Like, you being sassy in your 20s, I think you would have been like, oh, this guy's such a dork. I was like, I don't know. So we go back and forth on that. But obviously, you know, when you're younger, you look at the world a different way.
I think that's the wild part of like professional sports, is that I think that we forget that a lot of these guys are still in their 20s. Like, even Micah Parsons. Like, you look at this petty nonsense he does.
It's
which,
good.
Like, okay, it's one incident. But, like, he's a young guy still. So, like, I think you have to have some wiggle room there to where, like, you have to expect these type of things occasionally. Mm-hmm. Like, not everybody is a grown adult when they're 25 years old, but they make so much money, they have this big platform that I think people forget that.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's the case because they are playing a grown man sport or in any sport, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're a pro, mm-hmm. and a lot of the people watching are, you know, older, they have families, and you forget. This guy's 22. You know that, right? Like, he's still, like, learning how to become an adult. And when you're that young, you have to handle a lot of money and fame and cameras and people tracking everything you do. It's just a different world. Well, will we see more of Tommy DeVito?
Tommy!
Oh, Tommy Cutlets! Hey, Tommy! Where you going? Huh? So, Tommy... cut yesterday from the Giants. Tommy Cutlets. So he could be claimed off of waivers. If not, maybe he rejoins the Giants practice squad from Jersey. Remember a couple years ago went viral when he had that nice little run. Actually, his best game was against Washington. 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. I remember that. 3-3 as an NFL starter. 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I hope we see him back. I mean, that's a fun little story. We knew it would probably flame out pretty quickly, and it did. But we'll always have a couple years ago when Tommy was all the talk of the NFL.
Well, more importantly, I want to see his agent, like, trying to negotiate with teams. Because remember, his agent was, like, a big part of the lore. Because if you imagine somebody who went with the narrative of Tommy Cutlets, yes. Italian... like, this is what you would imagine. He looked like a cartoon character.
Yes.
So I don't know if they are filming this anywhere, but I would love to see Tommy DeVito's agent negotiating these deals with some of these teams. Like, that's the show that we need, not the kingdom.
Oh, yeah. Throw in some pesto, you got a deal. All right, Tommy, let me get on the phone here. Oh, Tommy Cutlets. Well, it's a good story. And the fact that he played for the Giants, mm-hmm. being from Jersey, is incredible. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. that was the perfect connection, because if he and his agent are playing in, I don't know, in
Phoenix.
Denver. Yeah, Phoenix. He'd be like, this doesn't make sense at all, you know? Oh, let's go play some golf this week. You'd be like, no, it doesn't make any sense. This doesn't work. But in, you know, the Meadowlands in New York City, Jersey area. Perfect. Also, Deontay Johnson cut from the Browns yesterday. His journey from, I think he made a Pro Bowl, actually. Had a 1,000-yard season a few seasons ago. And then traded from the Steelers to the Panthers in 2024. Panthers to the Ravens also in 2024. Released, claimed by the Texans last year. Claimed by the Ravens this year. Released, signed with the Browns. Released again. Like, I feel like when you go through that sort of journey in your NFL career, maybe your career is... coming to an end, because he was a decent receiver at one time, but now it just feels like done.
Yeah, it's tough in the NFL. It's the league of not for long, but Deontay Johnson did have a run there where he had good numbers. I remember mm-hmm. putting prop bets on him because there weren't that many options when he was with the Steelers, but I don't know if there's some other things going on there, because I don't want to speculate because I don't want to be wrong, but we'd have to ask a Steelers person, because that also goes into the equation as well. Like, you see these veterans that stick around, you're like, what is going on there? And it's because they're such good clubhouse guys. So, like, I'm not necessarily, you know, surmising that Deontay Johnson is not a good clubhouse person, but I do think in the long haul, it helps you get jobs more. So, I don't know. I'd have to ask somebody.
Were you surprised that Xavier Restrepo was cut by the Titans? Because, look, he had a great connection with Cam Ward at Miami, and he was really good in college. So, I mean, I thought, hey, this is a great pickup, right? Like, you had that automatic connection. He was really dynamic. I never cease to be amazed by the fact that you can see someone in college and they look great, but there's something about their game that doesn't translate to the pros. And maybe he'll catch on somewhere else, right? It doesn't mean his career is over, but I was a little surprised to hear this. For you?
No, because I feel like they roast him daily on the local talk radio shows here.
Oh, really?
So apparently there was a preseason game in which Cam Ward and Xavier Restrepo got to the game like 8 hours early. And they're like, dude, you're a receiver. Like, you don't need to get to the game 8 hours early. What are you doing? Like, I think he was trying to do that thing where he was, like, trying to be a good teammate and stuff. But, like, I don't think he ever had a chance. Like, the way that they talked about him on the radio, like, he was not contending for a starting job. Like, he was contending for the practice squad. So I don't think it's a shock to anybody around here.
One more shock a little bit yesterday, if you followed his career, is the former top 10 pick out of Clemson, Isaiah Simmons, who has kind of bounced around the league a little bit, has been cut by the Green Bay Packers, has never really made an impact in the league. Coming up next on the show, Team USA might have found their starting quarterback for the Olympics in 2028, and he's never even played pro football. That and a whole lot more. It's coming up next on the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Oh, man, I'm excited. Week one of college football. We're going to talk with Jake Butt from the Big Ten Network coming up later on the show as well. Get his insight on the Big Ten. We'll preview the Big Ten. That's coming up at the top of the hour. But before that, Chelsea, this is an interesting story that Denton found yesterday. The top-ranked flag football quarterback in the United States, this is according to Legion Hoops and also BallIsLife.com, is former NBA star Rajon Rondo, who apparently loves playing flag football. And I was watching some videos yesterday, and this cat can sling it around. Maybe he's the guy who's our quarterback here in 3 years for the red, white, and blue. I can't believe this. This is a crazy story.
It is crazy, but it makes a lot of sense as well. Because, like, he was an NBA point guard. So, I don't know too much about flag football, but, like, how much are you really throwing the ball, like, 70 yards? Like, I don't think it's that much, right? So, I don't know how much arm strength has to do with this. But at the end of the day, like, we're still not ranking NFL quarterbacks. Like, NFL quarterbacks still haven't had the chance to be ranked. So, if you're asking me if I would rather have Lamar Jackson or Rajon Rondo, like, I'm still picking Lamar Jackson. Like, that feels like common sense, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that when you talk about these pro athletes, like, we see this all the time, right? Like, Steph Curry playing golf. You're like, wow, this guy's a damn good golfer. Or you'll see an offensive lineman, and he's almost 300 pounds, but he can dunk a basketball. Like, you forget how athletic these guys all the way around are. And then some of these guys, you know, played multiple sports. Look at Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray was a top 10 baseball pick. You know, Patrick Mahomes played baseball. That's why he has the ability to throw the football at different angles, and he credits that to playing baseball. So I think that's probably what it is, where you so greatly associate a particular athlete with their chosen sport, but you forget, oh, yeah, this guy can do whatever he wants because he's an exceptional athlete. He's a pro.
I do think there's limitations to it, though, because I think Steph Curry is a really good golfer, but I'm not sure how he would fare, like, on the tour. Like, having to do it week in, week out. Because, like, that's part of golf, is, like, you have to do it not just one round. You have to do it four rounds. You have to do it all season long. Same goes with, remember that debate about Tyreek Hill facing Noah Lyles in a race? And everybody's like, Tyreek Hill would toast him. It's like, no, like, the technical aspect of it, like, Noah Lyles does this, and he's one of the best in the world, and he's, you know, won international competitions. So I think it's one of those things where, up to a point, like, Tyreek Hill could definitely compete on, you know, an international level, but I don't think he could be the best of the best. Like, same with Rajon Rondo. I think he'd be really good, but I still am not taking him over Lamar Jackson.
Oh, right. No. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's not saying they compete at the highest level. It's just saying that they have more well-rounded athletic talent than you would anticipate, right? Just because they have those natural built-in skills. Like, Tyreek Hill is mega fast. He's not an Olympic speedster. Like, I was, someone was having this debate with me, and I was like, let's look up the times in the 40, in the 60.
It's black
in the
and
100.
White.
Right. And I'm like, and at every level, Noah Lyles was. And of course, we're talking about small increments because that's how things are measured when you're talking about sprinting and track and field. But at every level, it was Noah Lyles, and it wasn't particularly close. I'm like,
yeah.
He's a gold medalist. He's a professional. He's a professional track athlete. So, yes, you might be able to run fast, but you're not going to be an Olympian, just like Steph Curry is very good at golf, but he's not going to win the U.S. Open. You know what I mean?
Right. Even though, like, maybe if he took, like, 3 years off and really focused on golf, like, maybe he could be. But I think that's where it's tough for athletes of other sports, is that they're not putting the time and practice into it that the guys who are also extremely talented. And we know, like, even to be successful at any sport, no matter how talented you are, you got to practice some. You have to learn, like, the nuances of the job. So I think, you know, it's just not an even playing field from the get-go.
No question. So that's exciting, though. It'll be interesting to watch because we're a long time away. I mean, I'm not really particularly interested in breaking down what's going to happen in 3 years in the Olympics. Although, I think I did tell you a few weeks ago when I was watching ESPN2 and they were like, yeah, how is Team USA going to fare in the Olympic Games? I'm like, in 3 years? Okay.
We need football games soon.
Yes, we need football immediately. I was like, God, please, football, please. But you never know. I mean, when this happens and there's open tryouts or however it goes down, maybe Rajon Rondo ends up being a guy who tries out, ends up being the quarterback. That would be crazy. So let's talk a little football now because we got to get back to the Micah Parsons situation. The marriage with the Cowboys, not going well. So we saw on Friday, I believe it was, Cowboys and Falcons in their final preseason game. And Micah Parsons was on the trainer's table on the sidelines taking a little napsky. Just, I mean, it had been a long day for Micah. And so he decided to lay down. The pictures are pretty hilarious. He's kind of flopping around the trainer's table. So it wasn't a good look. And clearly he was trying to make a point, which is, A, maybe I'm a little tired. But B, I'm tired of this contract negotiation with Jerry Jones. So, according to Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News, yesterday, Micah had an hour-long conversation with head coach Brian Schottenheimer about his actions. Don't really know what was said, but hopefully they cleared that up because Brian Schottenheimer said, after that game against the Falcons, I'll talk with Micah. We'll figure it out. They had that discussion yesterday. I wonder how that went down. And now it's, you know, Trey Hendrickson signed for the next year. Terry McLaurin got his extension. Micah sitting around trying not to take a nap.
So if you're a head coach, what's your strategy here? Because I think for me, you have to play good cop. And you have to lay it on thick with the compliments. Because sometimes people take different to different types of coaching and different types of parenting. Like, I think in this situation, Micah Parsons is clearly acting out because of his rift with Jerry Jones. Like, that's not hard to see. So I think if I'm Brian Schottenheimer, I'm like, listen, Jerry kind of sucks. We know this, but do this for your teammates. Do this for me. I'm a first-year head coach. Make my job a lot easier. I will do whatever it takes. I will take your side in every single argument. That's the strategy I would be taking.
Yes. You got to sit down. You have to sit down, Micah Parsons, and say, look, can we talk off the record here? Just me and you. Look, Jerry's crazy, okay? We know he's crazy. He's probably down at Rick's Cabaret right now, tying one on, okay? He's going to get in front of the cameras. He's going to say something nuts. I know your agent didn't say that, okay? Jerry's crazy. There's a reason why he hasn't won anything in 3 decades, okay? That was Jimmy Johnson. But I need you to do me a solid. Right? This is my first year as head. I need you to stand up on the sidelines and not take a nap on the trainer's table. I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
Just don't sleep.
Just please don't sleep during the games. Can we do that? Can we compromise there? I got enough on my plate. I mean, trust me, I deal with Jerry all the time. This guy. I get it. You deserve all the money on the planet. I hope you get it. I'm going to go to bat for you, okay? I got you. But I just need you to stand up on the sidelines and not take a nap. Because I got a lot of things on my plate right now. Please, Micah. All right? And we'll get you that deal. Shake hands. This never happened, by the way, right? Whatever it takes. But poor Ryan Schottenheimer. I mean, this is a distraction he just doesn't need.
Yeah. If anything, I feel like I pull at the thread of do this for your teammates.
Yeah.
Because I do think at the end of the day, Micah Parsons cares about his team and he does want to win. Like, we've seen that over the past couple of seasons when the Cowboys have struggled. Micah Parsons is not apathetic to it. So, like, nobody can accuse him of not caring. So the fact that he's doing this act of, like, sleeping on the sidelines, it just shows how bad it's gotten. But Jenks, now we have these rumors floating around about Micah Parsons. Which, let me start by asking you this. You've covered the NFL for quite some time.
I have,
if you see a rumor floating around like this, how much of it do you think the agent has floated out there? Because if I'm the agent, I'm starting the rumor mill. I'm saying, look at all these teams that are lining up for my client. Time is now. You got to sign him or else somebody else is going to get him.
This happens all the time. All the time. I mean, that's part of the game. And the worst is draft season, right? And because it's not just agents, it's teams leaking through different media contacts, right? And where you hear, oh, this team wants to trade up. We've seen it move markets, just these little bitty bits of information that are put out there. So I think this happens on a regular basis. Let's leak this. Let's try to sway public opinion. Let's maybe put a seed of doubt in the team that we're negotiating with. Whatever it is, this is all part of the game. It's a very subtle part of the game, but I think this happens, yes, all of the time. No question about it.
Yeah, so how much of the Micah Parsons to Green Bay rumor do you think is the agent? Do you think Packers fans should be excited for anything?
I don't think Jerry's going to let Micah Parsons go. No way.
Right?
His ego is too big. No, here's the thing. He doesn't have to. Micah Parsons, unfortunately, can be as angry as he wants. He can sit out all he wants and not get paid. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about a battle of egos, Jerry has the biggest ego. And he has the pocketbook to pay the money. Whether it's a smart decision is maybe a different discussion. But look, he's locked in to Micah Parsons this year. Micah Parsons is locked into this contract. Also, Jerry can franchise Micah Parsons. It wouldn't be a prudent move financially, but then again, Jerry's wasted millions of dollars waiting on the negotiation for contracts with Dak and CeeDee anyway. He could franchise Micah next year and the year after that. And even Jerry himself has said, well, I mean, are you going to sit out for 3 years? Like, he's already implied, maybe I'll just keep you as long as I want. Jerry is not going to trade Micah. If he does, I'll be happy to eat crow here, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, especially since he has the contractual high ground here.
Yes.
Like, Micah Parsons doesn't have a leg to stand on. And we've seen this happen in the NFL. Like, wasn't it T. Higgins that was just franchised year after year?
Yeah.
Like, please give me a new deal. No.
Washington did it with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, that's when he started making bank and continues to make bank. They just franchise him. So it's not something that we haven't seen before. Come on next on the show. It's Now or Never for Double D's Nittany Lions. We're previewing the Big Ten next on the Daily Tip.